Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another edition of Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and in the studio we have with us today Father David Sizemore. Father David Sizemore is the pastor of St. John Newman Parish in Sunbury, Ohio, and he's the board chaplain here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. So first of all, welcome to the show, Father Sizemore.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and it's great to be here.
And it's always great to have you in the studio. You're a blessing to our radio station. Father, I'd like to start by talking a little bit about your family and your growing up years and the kind of Catholic formation you received as a young person.
I had an interesting family life in regards to the formation of my Catholic faith. My mother is Catholic, and my father, while he was raised, and I think marginally raised, Baptist, and he, by the time he was an adult, after coming out of World War II, was pretty much agnostic. So it was an interesting mix with my mother and my father in how they raised us in the faith. You know, basically, my dad just never wanted to talk about the faith growing up, and never did talk about the faith growing up. It was just one of those topics you just kind of walked around when he was around, and he was around quite a bit. He was a very good man and a good father. And he helped with, you know, mine and my three sisters' formation in many other ways. For instance, he was a good person, and he knew how to treat people well. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. He was a man of principle. And so I thanks be to God, had a great father. And my mother did the more direct stuff, you know, mm-hmm. about raising us in the faith and making sure we went to church and so forth.
Now, like many young people, there was a time in your life when God and faith weren't all that important to you. Mm-hmm. So tell us about those years.
Yes, those are the lost years. And thanks be to God, he brought me out of those lost years. For me, it was a period between, sixth grade until into my sophomore year. So a good 4 years of my life where I just got off track with my relationship with Christ, got off track in the sense of really not being present at Mass. I was physically present there because, you know, again, thanks be to God, my mother forced us to go to Mass, and mm-hmm. my father enforced that. You know, I still remember him saying to me, particularly when I was a teenager, and to all my sisters, you know, a long time ago, I made that promise to that priest, whoever that priest was, that I would help your mother raise you Catholic. So you get your tail end, used another word, your tail end out of bed on Sunday morning, and you go to Mass, you know, or if you truly are sick, then you're going to remain in that bed all day long. So guess what I did? I went to Mass. So I wasn't always really, during that period, spiritually present, you know, and of course my mind wandered and I was off wherever in, you know, in my mind. And during that period of time too, I hung around with the wrong crowd and just wasn't living the life that God calls us to live as Christians.
So you're kind of talking about like rebellious kind of preteen stuff or early teen stuff.
And yeah, I'm definitely
rock and roll and
You know, I mean, I had the long hair, I had the earring in my left ear, which my dad hated and wouldn't talk to me for like 3 weeks, you know, I wore the Ozzy Osbourne concert t-shirts and the jeans with the holes in them that I put the holes in, you know, and the canvas high top Converse, you know, and so I thought I was, you know, I was a rock and roll dude.
So what was it that finally pulled you out of all of that?
I think it was several factors. I mean, first of all, thanks be to God, it was Jesus Christ who did that. who never gives up on any of us. I myself saw, at least I can see this looking back on that period of my life. I see that clearly now, that I had grown away from my family, had a strained relationship with my father. You know, we just didn't get along as mm-hmm. a teenage son, and my father was very much a man's man, and had an idea of who I should be. And then not good relationships with my sisters either. And again, just the type of walk that I was walking, I think I grew more and more dead inside, more and more cold inside and dark inside. And I, you know, wasn't happy with that life, even though I kept trying to pursue that life, hoping to find happiness and identity and so forth. And my mom was trying to get me to go during the summer of my sophomore year, trying to get me to go to these charismatic things, you know? And I mean, as soon as she started talking about the charismatic renewal, my mind just checked right out, you know? I mean, I was going to Mass, like I said, only because I was forced to go. And I certainly wasn't going to do extra spiritual things, you know? And quite frankly, I'd really just kind of stopped praying and gotten to a point in life where I was wondering if God existed, which makes sense. You stop praying, you stop, you know, being attentive to worshiping God, you make no efforts to learn about God and so forth. The natural progression is you're gonna start questioning your belief in God, and that's precisely what happened with me.
Sure.
So it was all that stuff that I think my mom saw, you know, but maybe in her own heart didn't want to admit that I was a wayward son, but she prayed for me. I know that, and along the way, she had given me a miraculous medal. She said, you know, if ever you find yourself in trouble, so again, she must have known that I was getting in trouble. If ever you find yourself in trouble, just pray this prayer that's on the miraculous medal that you wear. And it was, the prayer is, "Oh Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, who have need of you." And for some reason, that prayer stuck. And indeed, I did find myself in situations where I was in trouble or about to get into trouble, and really wanted to avoid that. I knew that in my own mind. And so I would pray that prayer. And guess what? I got out of it, you know, or I escaped it altogether. I avoided it. And so that devotion to Mary grew inside of me, even as at least in my kid's mind at the time, didn't have much interest in God. Mm. And eventually that summer, my mother prevailed and got me to go to a charismatic healing mass. Mm. And I said to her basically this. I said, "Okay, listen, you've been hounding me about these type of things, prayer groups and Bible studies and all that kind of stuff. I will go to this one healing mass." It was at Sacred Heart Parish in just north of the downtown area. "I will go if you never bring this up to me again, you know." And she said, "Deal." You know, I mean, that's the type of faith that she had in God. And I went, and it was just a phenomenal experience. You know, I just the priest who was there, Father DeGrantis, I still remember his name. He had a real gift for not just preaching, but for healing. And it all really kind of centered around our sacraments, you know, the Eucharist and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick and the sacrament of forgiveness. And while he was preaching about that very topic, forgiveness, and again, I can just remember everything he, even to this day, vividly what he said, because it so affected my life. And I played it over weeks and months afterwards, that in order for, you know, us to be available to the forgiveness that God wants to give us, that we have to be willing to start forgiving ourselves.
Yes, very true.
Very true.
And we have to be willing to forgive others, and that we need God's help and ask for God's help to forgive others. And because of where things were in my relationship with God, I mean, with my father, and the priest in the sermon actually led us in these prayers of forgiveness, I followed along and I asked the Lord to help me to start to forgive my father. And then the next thing was I asked the Lord to help me to start forgiving myself, and, you know, because of the things I had done in the last 3 or 4 years of my life. And then I finally asked God to forgive me.
And so this sounds like then a turnaround started happening after that.
I had one of those experiences, you know, that every once in a while you hear people talk about this, a very real, a very personal encounter with Christ right there in the pew. And from that point on, I knew and have always known that God exists. And I just started sobbing, you know. From that point on, including receiving the Eucharist right after that homily and that experience of God, it was like my eyes opened up and I'm like, this really is the Son of God, you know? And then going up for the sacrament and anointing of the sick and that whole experience, you know, this really, true healing is spiritual healing, you know? And then it affects the rest of your life and every other aspect of your life. And so from that point on, it really, at least in the months that followed, presented a question to me, and that is, okay, David, you know that I exist, so what should you be doing about it? You know? And I could not escape that question. I know you exist, God, now, so how should this be affecting my life? And for the next couple of years, it was a letting go of all of the layers that had piled up in my life that was keeping me from a deep relationship with God. It was just kind of peeling all those back. And then, with each friend that I let go of, with each, you know, habit I moved away from and so forth, he replaced them with other friends who were, you know, better for me in my spiritual life, definitely, and put me in situations of life and helped me to find people and activities that really supported my spiritual growth.
So, and now the time period you're talking about is high school. Did the idea of priesthood enter your mind at this point?
Later in high school, I think it did. I was a kid in elementary school and I played priest, you know.
Right.
I think a lot of people did that, just talking with priests over the years. So I brought out the Wonder Bread, made it into a little wafer, and I gave Holy Communion to my sisters, you know. And when my sisters wasn't around, I gave it to my dog, you know. The body of Christ, you know. So, you know, I did that kind of stuff, but... then, of course, all of that, as I just described, was greatly interrupted, and it really wasn't until later in high school that I started to think about priesthood, and it was because my mind was clear for the first time,
right?
You know, from the fog.
And you went from high school, you went to Ohio University to study business, and the thought of priesthood was kind of maybe in the back of your mind, but to complicate matters, you also fell in love with a young woman.
I did, yeah, and it was a great experience. She was a great girl. And I really enjoyed being in love and knowing that someone was in love with me in a way that, you know, I could imagine being married and having children and having a family. So, yeah, that, you know, I mean, I dated and stuff in high school, but I never really met anybody who I can honestly say that, you know, over an extended period of time, I grew in a love relationship with, and so I'll be forever grateful for that experience. But you know, as your question implies, it was very confusing for me,
right.
You know, because here I was with priesthood actually growing more and more in the forefront of my mind, while at the same time I was thinking about and contemplating the very real possibility of being married and having children.
Sure. So it sounds like, though, as we see with a collar around your neck, that God would win out on this decision, and you went from OU in your junior year and then on to the Josephinum to pursue this, to test this call, to see. What was the reaction of your family to that decision?
Not the one that you would think in regards to my mother and father in particular. Again, my mother was the Catholic and very active in her faith. And my dad, you know, pretty much agnostic. My mother was against it in the beginning, along with my three older sisters.
Very surprising.
Yeah, yeah. And against it only because they, you know, I think like a lot of Catholics and non-Catholics, even today, even when they have a priest in their parish who's very happy being a priest, they still imagine that simply because you have a life alone in the sense that you're not married and have children, that somehow equates to loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all of that loneliness would equate to unhappiness. And so I think that was truly what was in the back of their minds, is they just wanted me to be happy and they loved me. And so, you know.
And of course, on a side note, you probably don't have all that much alone time, do you?
I don't.
I have four kids. I don't have a lot of alone time.
Yeah.
You have hundreds of kids over at St.
Yeah.
John New-
yeah,
Newman.
Yeah,
so.
You know, in fact, you know, I kid with people that our days as priests are long days. They're very fulfilling days too, doing the work of the Lord. But when I go home in the evening,
I'm
so glad. Amen and hallelujah. I'm so glad to shut the door and turn on some music and pick up a book and read and relax, you know. And sometimes I just go right to bed because I'm exhausted. But it's, you know, even then when that happens, I go to bed. It's with such a satisfaction, you know, not self-satisfaction, but a satisfaction to be a part of something so much bigger than what I am. And just to
Absolutely.
Be a part of it, I'm grateful.
And what was your father, the agnostic, what was his reaction?
A very practical one. We always, as a family, would sit out in front on the porch. And so I remember the conversation in the evening. It was a summer evening. And very vividly, I told him this. And it, obviously, it talked to my mom and my sisters. And he said to me, Davey said, I love my work. And what my dad did was he worked on roads and on bridges, building them and repairing them. And he said, I love getting up in the morning, going to work. I love being at work, and I love coming back to my wife and my children and the time I spend with you. So he said, if you need to take a couple years out of your life and waste some time, you know, I think he was borrowing from my mother here, waste some time trying to figure out if being a priest is a way of life that you would love, and love getting out of bed and going to and falling asleep at night very fulfilled in what you've done. Then he said, do it. Take the risk, you know, waste a couple years of your life to figure this out. You'll be happy with the life that you live for the rest of your life by taking this risk.
Absolutely.
And he was so right. And he's the one who the Lord used in his goodness to give me the courage to take that risk.
And sounds like really great advice from your dad. You're listening to Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. And we're talking today with Father David Sizemore, pastor of St. John Newman Parish in Sunbury, and he's telling us about answering the call in his own life. So, Father, you went to the Josephinum, you studied there, you got your degree. Was it instantly apparent to you that this was your true calling, or were there still questions?
Still questions, yeah. When I finished up at the Josephinum, I told the bishop at the time that I wanted to take a year off mm-hmm. from seminary. I didn't know if I was going to come back. I worked in an office for an auditor, so kind of went back to that original business plan. And those were good experiences. But a couple of things, and I started dating again. But a couple of things came out of that. And the dating experiences that I had, I just realized I wasn't settled. That there was something missing for me, you know, in my life, because
right.
I mean, I'm a priest now, so I see that so very clearly, that God was calling me not just to priesthood, but to a celibate way of living. But I was still trying to figure that out at the time.
Sure.
And there was just something that was missing, and something that, you know, the girls I had dated, they just couldn't reach, you mm-hmm. know? And so that was one thing. The other thing is that I realized that, as far as profession goes, that I did not want to be a businessman. Even though that's such a worthy way to provide for our family and to make an impact on society, there's great dignity in all of our work. But I just realized that wasn't for me. And so that actually, those two experiences, then I went back to the bishop and asked him if he would send me back to seminary, that wanted to continue to discern, even as I wanted to continue to prepare myself for the possibility that God might be calling me to the priesthood.
So you then would study at the Gregorian and the Angelicum universities in Rome and get your degrees there in theology and spiritual theology. But those lingering questions, you know, were still there even overseas.
Yeah they were. So I, at the end of one degree program at the Gregorian, I spoke to my spiritual director, and I said, I'm still not sure, you know? And I don't feel comfortable saying to my bishop and to my family, let alone to God, that I'm ready for the diaconate, because that was the next step, to become a deacon within a couple months. So I asked him and the faculty if I could take a year off. And they said they would keep, you know, my formation program open if I decided to come back. The rector at the time found me a really good spiritual director at the Josephinum, Monsignor Olmsted, and he was wonderful. And I asked to be placed in a parish, you know, because if this was what I thought God was calling me to, was parish priesthood, then I really wanted a whole year of experience of shadowing a priest. Mm-hmm. And thanks be to God, I was assigned with a wonderful priest who loved his priesthood. He was priest for 25 years at the time. His people loved him, and he made me go to everything. You know, he said, you want to experience a parish priesthood? And so they were long days. But at the end of the year, I said, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I went back to Rome and finished out my formation, got another degree, and came back to become a priest.
And you were ordained in 1996.
Yes.
And you've been a blessing to our diocese ever since.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your family for a moment. At what point did your mom, your sisters, and your dad come to embrace this whole idea of you being a priest?
I think when they saw that I was serious about the endeavor, you know, and even more so when they saw that I could see myself being happy and fulfilled in this life.
Do you think that God has given you any special gift or charism or area of knowledge that particularly assists you in your priesthood today?
I've always enjoyed working with the youth. I've had great opportunities in being in some exceptional parishes that have had some wonderful youth ministry programs, and I just feel blessed to be a part of all of that. So I think that's one thing, working with the youth. And along those lines, working in college situations, I had some fantastic experiences being the Catholic chaplain at Ohio Wesleyan University for 5 years. You know, they reached out to a fairly large Catholic population there. So I really enjoyed that for those 5 years. And I'm helping out right now at ODU. And then I think another area, ironically, God with his sense of humor, has been marriage ministry. You know, mm-hmm. while I was so drawn to that personally, here I am now as a parish priest, very much involved with trying to support couples in their married life and their family life through a variety of things I've been a part of in the parish that we've been able to bring to the parish. And I was in diocesan pre-Cana ministry for 10 years and so forth.
Yeah, it's so mm-hmm. beautiful to have priests support the married vocation as well. I heard in Marriage Encounter them one saying that a priest and a married couple almost forms like a trinity, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just such a beautiful exchange of God's love for us. I have to mention, too, that Father, you have won 2 years in a row the Clergy Who Cook competition at the Josephinum. So where did you develop your culinary arts?
Well, it's not much.
Wait a minute. I can't even pronounce what you made. Seafood what?
Ceviche.
I can't even say it. So obviously, you know what you're doing.
No, most of the time I don't. I learned to cook in Rome because we had a student kitchen there. And then I became friends with people like Father Jim Black, who is a wonderful cook, and getting together with priests over the years, because the group I run with, we all like to cook. I think I've learned to cook a little bit better than when I was, you know, a kid.
So does that intimidate your parishioners from inviting you over for dinner?
Absolutely not. I get invited over all the time and I always accept. I love going into my parishioners' homes.
Oh, that's
And
awesome.
They feed me well. They take care of my belly, I take care of their spirits.
That's a good arrangement. Well, Father David Sizemore, it's been such a blessing having you on the show, and if you would leave us with a blessing.
Sure. Lord, we give you thanks for your many gifts in our lives, and we pray that we use them well, that you give us the courage and the wisdom to know who you are, to know what you're all about your love and your mission of salvation. And we ask that you use us well to participate in drawing all of our brothers and sisters to our one Lord Jesus Christ and to a life of happiness and of celebration, and of a deep abiding love in heaven. And we ask all of this through the intercession of Our Lady. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Father David Sizemore. And this is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I hope you'll join us next Saturday at 10:30 and Sunday at 4 for another edition of Answering the Call, when we interview priests and deacons and religious about their spiritual journeys and how they answered the call. In the meantime, have a great week. God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.